Something that you guys know about me, and something that if you don't know about me, you're going to know about me, is I don't like to always do things just because they've always been done. This may be Christmas Day. I am not a big fan of doing Christmas Day services and having, not Kris Kringle, but St. Nicholas show up or anything like that. That's just not me. That's not who I am, but that's okay. It's not that it's wrong. It's definitely a good thing. So I was thinking to myself, you know, when Pastor Ray asked me probably a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, what would I be preaching for this Sunday, this Sunday the 25th? And I thought it was funny because as I was preparing my sermon for my first sermon at the church that I'm going to be going to, the sermon that God gave me was from the book of Genesis, from the beginning. And before I had even gotten that, God had given me what I was going to be preaching here, and it's from the book of Revelation. It's the end. So I thought it was pretty interesting. We started from the beginning when we go to the new church, and we finish at the end when we're here. So with that, if you'd open up to Revelation chapter 1, not that I am here to start the whole Revelation series over again. We are just going to go with Revelation chapter 1. There's three verses in Revelation that I want to draw your attention to. Those three verses are very similar. It's almost like it's saying the same exact thing. And it's kind of like a poem, you know. A poem will, especially Psalm, will repeat over again what it already said. It'll repeat it a second time just to kind of maybe draw it out a little bit further, give you a little bit more clarity on what they're talking about. And this passage of Scripture stood out to me. And not just because this is the last sermon, but this passage of Scripture stood out to me because this is what I felt God was giving us for this morning. So with that, if you're open to Revelation chapter 1, let's go to verse 8 together. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it challenges us, that it moves us to change, Lord. And Father, I pray today that we would be changed by your presence in our lives and through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, so like I said, there are some similarities as we go through Revelation. We actually find that there are two more instances where this concept of I am the Alpha and the Omega come right back up again. First, we have the Revelation 1:8, and then we move to Revelation 21:6. Says, then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. Then we have the third instance where it's in Revelation chapter 22, 13 through 14. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. All those passages of Scripture have something very similar in common. It's, I am the Alpha and the Omega. It's that declaration that is made three times in a row. And I seem to remember when Samuel was being called by the Lord, he's being called three times. Anything that is worth really grasping, God repeats three times. So, you know, or more, you know, just in case you can't get it through your head in the first three. But he repeats it over and over again so that we can grasp it, so we can understand it, the importance of it. And here we have three instances. Now, the difference is, the first time is the red letter, so we know that in the red letter it is who speaking? All right, and the next two are in black letters, and it's not the red letter, but it's the black letters, and that's letting us know that God's speaking, not that the black letters are all God speaking, but they are to an extent. Anyway. So we got these black letters, it's God speaking, we got the red letters, it's Jesus speaking, but we understand that Jesus and God are one and the same, right? So when we hear that Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, and we hear that God says, I am the Alpha and Omega, it doesn't negate each other, it works together, right? So we understand that. Good. We're all on the same page? Revelation, we're all on page 1034, right? But we've got this concept that stands out. But there's another common thread between all of these concepts that is not just about the beginning and the end. If you read in the second, on the 21:6, it says, I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. The 13 through 14 in chapter 22 says, for those who have washed their robes so they may have the right to the tree of life. I see that there's this common thread between all these having to do with life. Life being the important aspect that as God declares that He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Creator, that life is the important thing. Why is it important that God is the first and the last? What is the significance? Is it just merely because He has seen everything and nothing will ever surprise Him? Or is there a greater purpose to the fact that He is the Alpha and the Omega? We see another common thread throughout these is one of past, one of present, one of future. Who is, who was, and who is to come. The first, although it does not focus on the past, but the present, it sets us up for what is about to take place. It helps to show us the focus of these passages of Scripture. The common thread becomes visible in this, that they are all speaking about life. All three passages focus on the idea of life, whether past, present, or future. God created man and breathed the breath of life in him. He breathed His own breath into these mortal bodies made of dirt, and meant for man to pass that inheritance on, an inheritance of life, an inheritance of God's life, God's breath. That's what God meant for us to pass on as an inheritance. However, man made a choice to eat of the tree in the garden that was off limits, and in so doing, set the course of human history and passed a different inheritance on, one that led to death. Nothing that we don't know yet, right? Not that I'm here to preach on anything that we don't know. I'm here to preach on what we do know, the Word of God. The past, the life that was but never was. The old man, the one that ruled over our entire bodies, allowing sin to have its way in us. That life that goes far beyond the moment in the garden when the breath of life was first instituted within our mortal bodies. The life we lived is the life that we have, unfortunately, gained as a direct result of the fall of man. The life that we're living is the one that we have as a direct result of Adam's sin. The possibility of perfection forever lost in the pages of history. Life full of what ifs. What if I didn't do that? Where would I be now? What if I had done this? Where would I be now? History is set in stone forever, to be only erased by the endeavors of man trying to outdo each other, to build taller buildings, higher skyscrapers, to make more money, to not repeat the mistakes of history. Yet for all of our strivings, we still wind up repeating history, don't we? The past, important for the sake of knowing where to go and what not to do, but not defining the confines of today, not defining who we are today. The past is to be there so that we know not to go there again. And the present is here for now. And I know that Pastor Ray spoke on this concept the other day, that we can't be focused on the past. We're moving into the present. We're moving into the future, what God has for us. We don't have to be what we are or what we were. We can turn back. We can't turn back the clock. God can. And if you read Scripture, you find that God actually turns back the clock. The sundial moves back a couple spaces. Our past, however good or bad, is unchangeable. What we have done in the past is unchangeable. We have to deal with what we have planted, whatever we have done. We are stuck living these lives produced from our past actions, but our past no longer defines us. Our present does. What we were no longer defines who we are. I believe the first passage directs you to the present because the state we used to be is in the past. Now, if you don't catch what I'm saying here, you need to understand Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. The Almighty. He focuses on the who is. I believe that there's a reason why things are in the order that they're in. God doesn't focus on the past. He knows that there's a future, but He focuses on the present because that's where we're at. The first concept is life. God was the same God then as he is now. In the past, he is the same God as he is now in the present. His power never wasn't. His power never wasn't. It did not lose its effect or his ability just because we were not followers. God has been the same. Scripture tells us that God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. He's the God of now, the God of the present, the God that is for the future, the God who was in the past. Those things in the past can't be changed. However, they can be erased. All of our fears and failures, all of our imperfections that have all too willingly decided to spring up in our lives are no more from that first decision to live for Christ. So we've got the first concept of just life. The life that we lived that wasn't a life at all because it was the life passed down to us by Adam. The second, Revelation 21:6, this is a direct result of who God is, the direct result of what he has done. The God who is first and last, the Alpha and the Omega, provides us the opportunity to drink from the river of life. The opportunity to not just live and breathe, but to have life, and that of a more fulfilled one. Life abundantly. I think you guys remember Jesus saying, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. So the second concept is not just life. This concept is life that is made to the most, to the maximum, to the fulfilled line that it possibly can be made to. This is the life that the Alpha and the Omega has set in pace and set in place because of who he is. This is the opportunity to not just live and breathe, but to have life, and that one more fulfilled. It is a picture of the present. This should remind us of the woman at the well. There she was, minding her own business, going to draw water, but doing it when no one else was around, almost as if she was trying to avoid everyone. And if you've read that story, you understand the woman at the well was not living a life that was very godly. Was living a life of sin. Her past, far too colorful, and everyone knew it. Even the stranger who had never met her, Jesus, sitting at the well, knew her story. But Jesus did not let that stop him. He struck up a conversation with her, despite knowing who she was. Okay, maybe he had the conversation with her because he knew exactly who she was. God's purposeful, isn't he? God does things on purpose. He wasn't soliciting her. Rather, he was desiring to give her a gift, one that would not continue to perpetuate the cycle of failure on top of failure, one that would not make her have to go into hiding and be ashamed anymore, one that would give her life and give her life abundantly, a gift that would not make her have to come to the well in the middle of the day trying to avoid everyone else. A gift that would change her life and erase her past. So we all understand, just because our past is erased does not mean that people forget. People don't forget who you were or what you've done. I find that people, especially Christians, have a tendency of bringing up the past far too often. However, because our past is erased, and because we have made, or rather are making, the decision to follow after Jesus, we are now a new creation. We're not the same that we were. We are made new. And as this new cycle of right living, of the life-changing power of God, is adopted into our lives, we see ourselves changing from what we were to who we are. Changing from what we were to who we are. The best part is others see it too. And it is this change that shows them the possibility of not just life in the mundane, but life abundantly. Life to the fullest. Your life changed witnesses to the truth of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This river of life is made available to anyone who desires to thirst after it. It is available to anyone who makes the decision to follow after Jesus. But as we read in Revelation 21:6, that it is an open invitation, not a mandated proclamation. Because as you read it in 21:6, it says this: I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. Not I have given to the one who thirsts. It's an open invitation for anybody who wants to come. And I know often we feel that we're defined by our past, and often we don't want to move forward because we feel like our past is stopping us from moving forward. But I want to let you know this morning that your past is not determining where you're going. Your past does not determine who you are today. What decision you make now determines who you are today. And that goes the same for this church. Your past does not determine who you are. It helps define your life and the life of the church, but it is the present, your choices now, that determine where you're going and what you're doing. Although just because we might not choose to follow at this moment in time, it does not negate who God is. It is because who He is that this possibility is even available. It's because who God is that this possibility is even available. So we move from life to life abundantly to the final passage in Revelation 21, 13 through 14. I believe is life everlasting. We remember this tree of life, this concept of a tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, don't we? Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. The gates of heaven, that is. We have moved from the past and now are looking forward to the future. We have come full circle from the Garden of Eden and Adam's decision to eat of the tree that he was told not to. We see here in this passage that those who have cleaned their robes, those who have washed them by going to the river of life, can eat from the tree of life. Those who have made the choice to follow after Jesus, to live their lives according to what the Bible says is right, can enter into life everlasting. In the garden, there were two distinct trees, one that led to the knowledge of good and evil, and the other being the tree of life. When Adam made the choice to eat of the one tree, the possibility of the other was cut off from him. Adam made the choice to eat of the one tree. The possibility of the other was cut off. God set up an angel to protect the way, to shut the way so that no one could ever come back. Genesis 3:22 says this: And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. 24 says this: So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life, blocking it forever. There were always, or eternal life was out of his grasp because of one act of disobedience. How many times do we do things that we know we ought not to do, even though we're trying to live for God? How many times? One act of disobedience. There were always two trees in the garden. There's a little bit more than two trees, but there was always two that we're focused on. And when given the choice, we often eat of the wrong one, don't we? I find it funny, however, that in the pursuit of knowledge, in the realization of life, man strives with all of his wisdom, with all of his knowledge that was gained. He strives to live as long as he can. He strives to have that tree of life, despite of all the knowledge that he has. He raises monuments. He makes money and tries to leave a lasting impression on this world. It's rooted in us, this desire to live forever. And I think knowledge brings it out to understand that everlasting life is what's the important thing. However, it is unattainable in these mortal bodies. Our desire, though, has not changed. With all the knowledge, we gain the realization that life is the most important. God is first and foremost. This is the primary focus. I want you to understand this. This little phrase. This is the primary focus of all of what I've been talking about. God is. Simple. God is. That's the important part. First and foremost, this is the primary focus. Not was and is to come. It's is. God is and was and is to come. God is. The focus is He is. Past is gone and is not going to be changed. The focus is the here and now. The focus is what is going on now. What we can do. What we can be. The focus is not what has happened. We don't live the rest of our life reminiscing about the day that we were born. It was a dark and stormy night. We don't reminisce about the day that we were born. We don't imagine what it was like coming out into the real world and crying. And we don't imagine. We don't reminisce about those things. We think about the future. We think about what the future is going to bring. We live where we are now, hoping for the future. The Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come. So it all boils down to one thing. We can because He is. We can because God is. We can see our lives changed because God is. We can have a life full of possibilities because God is. We can have a relationship with God because He is. We cannot be hindered by our past because God is. We can move mountains of impossibility in our lives because God is. We can see hope for the future despite our present circumstances because God is. We can have a life because God is. We can thrive because God is. We can truly live because God is. Put in a million other things, because He is. The possibilities are endless. We can because He is. I think that is the most important thing. The Alpha and the Omega. We can because He is the Alpha and the Omega, because He is everything that He is. The most important thing. God is. You can see your life change for eternity because He is. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You that You're challenging our lives. But we thank You most importantly that You are. Not that You were, not that You will be, but You are right this very moment. The same God yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.